Welcome to Virtus Voices. This is Joe Terranova, Senior Managing Director and Chief Market Strategist for Virtus Investment Partners. Today I am joined by Matt Benkendorf, Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Vontobel Asset Management. Matt, welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Joe. Good to talk to you again.
Certainly, Matt, there's clarity in the wake of the U.S. presidential election, Senate elections, and House of Representatives. But there is new information for investors to absorb, and that is the COVID-19 vaccine news from Pfizer. As a consequence of that news, value stocks and cyclical areas of the economy have rallied. What type of effect do you think the introduction of the vaccine will have on global markets?
And Joe, I think the vaccine is the number one issue, the vaccine slash COVID, let's call it that. So we're going to have to resolve COVID one way or another, either via everybody gets it and we all get herd immunity, it magically goes away, or we get a vaccine. So the fact that now we have some real evidence of a quite efficacious vaccine, and with a realistic timetable on the horizon for some sort of scale of distribution, I think that obviously was a massive game changer. And I think behind it, you'll probably have some subsequent news of additional vaccines coming out. So I think it's the number one issue in the markets. There's no way we get back to normal in terms of life and normalcy in terms of economics and business functioning and growth without getting through COVID one way or another. So in that way, the vaccine's critical. And I think the vaccine's critical for all segments of the market. You know, as you alluded to, it's driven a type of rally in the near term. But let's be frank, if COVID cannot be dealt with or resolved, it's going to be bad for growth and value stocks over the medium and longer term.
Here we are 9 days since the U.S. elections, and it's interesting. I didn't think our conversation would begin talking about the vaccine, and I think you and I suspect it's probably more impactful for capital markets than the results of the election. But there has been an election, and thereby there is the introduction of potentially a new economic landscape. How are you thinking about the economic landscape in the wake of the election, and do you anticipate repositioning portfolios given the outcome?
Yeah, look, it's quite a relief, Joe, that we're sitting here talking today, having resolved this election. I wish it was a complete resolve in that you still have a Senate race to resolve at the beginning of January, which will give us absolute clarity in terms of whether we have a fully gridlocked government or not. But look, it's quite a relief, difficult as it's been this year living through COVID for everybody out there. We've had an election cycle running for basically 4 years and intensely for the last year and a half. So look, it's a relief to be done. I think in terms of election outcomes, honestly, and it's probably not the most popular answer or what people think of, I think they're way over exaggerated, quite frankly, in generally speaking. You know, there's so much time and attention spent on it because it's sensitive, it's personal, it's all of those things. But from a markets and economic standpoint, I think the sensitivity to the results is a bit overstated. And we look at that statistically over time, right? You can look at all the data. You can find these different combinations, whether it's a Democratic president, a Republican Congress, or vice versa, or this and that. You know, at the end of the day, I think the person in office gets a lot of credit for a lot of things that are going on in the underlying economy, whether to their own doing on the margin or not. So it's a long way of saying, I think the election outcome itself, it's great to have it over. I think that's a huge relief for everybody out there to have this overhang behind us. Markets crave clarity. So the fact that we have it resolved and we'll have some clarity in terms of at least what the landscape should look like for a period of time, I think that's an absolute positive. But ultimately, how the markets do and how we all do will have to do with resolving COVID, and they'll have to do with how that reflects an underlying economic growth and corporate profit growth. Corporate profit growth is what's going to drive stock prices, and stock prices is what we're talking about here. So let's see how the underlying economy goes in this fragile situation. I think the one thing also to keep in mind, which is quite interesting, we haven't had a four-term president in, you know, what, it's been 28 years now, right? So this is quite interesting, and it looks like we'll actually likely have back-to-back single-term presidents, just looking at Joe Biden's age, making no predictions. So I think that's an interesting dynamic that, you know, we've had some resolution, but usually with a presidential resolution, you usually have an eight-year runway of some policies to put in place and have some continuity there. So what might end up happening is we have some real short-term stability and visibility here, but we do generally have some more turmoil over the next 8 years because we could very well get another shift that drags people into this question again. But long answer to your question is what's going to matter is corporate profit growth. If we have a more or less deadlocked government now, a lot of the tax policies probably won't come to pass. The regulatory environment might crank up a bit in certain areas. But we got to get over COVID, and COVID's going to be the key driver.
There's a potential for the reintroduction of globalization, and along with that, a increased appetite for assets that are not domiciled in the United States. Thinking about those assets, whether they be developed or emerging markets, is there a particular preference that you would be positioning for as we look forward over the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, it's always a bit of a difficult question for us, right, because we have all these babies and we love our children equally. So, you know, we don't have a very firm top-down call, and that's not how we allocate, generally speaking. But honestly, to directly answer your question, look, I think emerging markets on the margin should be a bit more favorable for sure. Why? I think the markets are still behind. I think they finally had a bit of a catch-up this year. It took a while the other markets rallied. They languished a bit more and were behind. I think emerging markets, generally speaking, have more to run in that they were already behind the developed markets for quite some time. If you look on a long-term basis, there is higher structural growth and the higher long-term returns should be there. So we are certainly coming out of a period where those returns have been more muted. So I think from that standpoint, when you look at the lay of the landscape, yes, it is likely that you should get some better returns from the emerging markets, at least over this short and medium-term period here. As we look forward, I think if you look at where they are in terms of a cycle, I think they'll start to get some help from this bit of recovery we've had already in the developed markets, although we're stumbling a little bit here now with the COVID reintroduction. But at least that reinvigoration we had back in Europe and the U.S., that's certainly going to start to filter down through the emerging markets. And then you add that back to their own cycles, which have been reinvigorating. Brazil's had to go through a COVID. India's had to go through COVID. China clearly handled it early and moved right along. But you'll have some other Southeast Asian economies that are still yet to open up. Thailand is a big tourism-based economy. That economy is going to open up as COVID gets better. Indonesia is a very young, very large population. So, yeah, on the margin, I think you'd favor non-U.S. and emerging markets here for sure from a tactical short-term perspective.
Certainly, the history of the markets exhibit to us that risks are always present. As we turn the calendar into 2021, it's clear that there is risk, whether it be the trade relationships from the prior administration, the continued presence of COVID-19, or the change of regulation or tax consequence domestically in the United States. About how is it exactly that you think about these risks? And when managing these risks, do you also look at the valuation landscape and look at it as fairly and fully valued?
I think, Joe, that's the, you know, on top of the COVID, you know, issue we talked about, I think that critical investing mindset running into next year, I think we're walking a very fine line, all of us here. I think we've had recovery from COVID. We've had an improvement. We have a vaccine in sight. Certainly things are looking positive. We had a healthy economy going into COVID, so we had a lot of things going for us there. If we can get COVID behind us, we have a good structural labor market, more or less underpinning the U.S. The housing market's in good shape. So we're set up well, but still that being said, I think you need to be cognizant we're still walking a very fine line. We could be very much on that path towards things not only getting better, but being very, very good. But on the other hand, walking this fine path with a bit of a slip and a stumble, things could look quite bad. And I think that's a little bit unique. Usually you have a fairly firm setting on where you're headed here. I think things could range from looking very, very good to being very, very difficult, depending on how some things turn out here. So I think you want to walk into this very carefully. You mentioned a critical part of that being valuation. And that's one way. As you said, risk is ever present. Ironically, the markets, when they go up, they seem to feel there's less risk. And when they go down, they seem to feel there's more risk. When we know sort of inversely in the investing world, that's not the way it works, actually, over the long term. When assets get cheaper, they're generally lower risk. And when they get more expensive, and at least with respect to that aspect, they get riskier. So the assets have recovered here. They're pricing in some expectations. We're walking down this firm line now, so if things lean over towards the good and the great side, certainly the asset markets will be fine. They'll be on the mark, and they'll have room to go forward and upwards. But if we slip back off that other way, not only will the assets be forward pricing too much optimism already, they'll not be set up for a more difficult scenario. But that's going to take the crystal ball to figure it out. I think with what we have, though, in front of us in terms of the vaccine and some sort of timeline there, as we talked about, the underlying economy being rather healthy going into COVID, if we can push forward and get through this, have the clarity on the election, I think we're in good shape. But investors need to be careful and certainly be mindful of valuations when you pick your spots.
Lastly, Matt, Vontobel places a priority on companies over countries. Explain that investment philosophy for us, if you would.
We are, and have always been, by our investment religion, extremely bottom-up. And bottom-up's a very generic term, too. It's what you've expressed better in your question. We're company-focused. We believe corporate profits and strong, predictable, high-quality businesses with real franchise moats that enable them to do what they're doing and persist in their economic rent-taking, i.e. their high economic returns and their growth over time, that's the best way that they're going to create real value. And that real value will be translated then into an investor return. So that's what, when we say we're company-focused, we're focused everywhere in the world with our team, same exact team, looking around for great business models and great businesses that have these economic moats, these high economic returns that give you as an investor a rich reward, and then some visible path to growth that you can really extrapolate going forward with a low degree of risk to it, i.e. it's more predictable. So we focus a lot more on that. Those companies, we tend to find them very much globally, though. We find an abundance of them in emerging markets, and we find abundance of them in the U.S. You know, some have different flavors to them. Some lie in similar industries or sectors. Some have some nuances or differences based on the geographies or developments of the countries. But at the end of the day, it isn't those countries, as you said in the question, that matter. That's not our starting point. It's the companies that are our starting point. Where we end up in the countries, that's sort of the end point, and that's more dictated usually by the geographic product that we're building for the end investors' needs or fits and their asset allocation. So we think that's the best recipe over time we found to investing success. It's something we've also found critically that's very repeatable, so we don't have to get the top down right, which is often the most difficult part. So we hope we'll stick to that knitting. We're still finding an abundance of ideas out there today. We're rather fully invested across all of our portfolios. We're walking this careful line for our investors, as we've talked about, very cognizant of risk. But we think right now there's potentially, you know, a good setup out there. As long as we reach and grasp what's in front of us, you know, I think collectively as countries, government societies, get COVID behind us, move past a lot of this uncertainty, get some things done, I think the backdrop for corporate profit growth and corporate success should be good.
Matt, thank you so much for your thoughtful insights and your time today. And thank you to our audience for listening to this episode of Virtus Voices. If you would like more information, please visit our website, virtus.com.